In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever tried starting up a conversation with someone who is clearly very different from you? I mean, just one look at them or a quick interaction, and you would think, what do I have in common with this person? Some of you are looking at your neighbor right now. This is a little disconcerting. But I guess the unity of Christ compels us here. What do you do? What do you start with? I mean, you could talk about the weather. That'll give you a few seconds, I suppose, if you want to. You can ask someone what they do for a living. That is pretty standard fare. Anyone ever asked someone else what they do for a living? You're all lying if you're not raising your hand. Obviously, everybody does that in our society, right? Although I can't help but think that question, even though it's not meant to, is kind of freighted with judgment. I always think of the movie Office Space, where these guys have been bought out, this company's been bought out, and they send in these men to come in and figure out, kind of clean house, like who's really worth what they're doing here in the job and who's not. They kind of have to figure things out. And they always ask that question with just a tinge of judgment. What exactly do you do here? And we can do that even in our day today, depending on how someone answers that question. We might either have no idea what they're talking about, like Billy Crystal selling air in City Slickers, right? Or they might do something that we don't agree with, we have no interest in. I've definitely experienced that myself when I meet people and they finally find out what I do for a living. They may have no interest or even less interest in talking to me after that. And I know some of our military families have experienced that. They've said that to me on numerous occasions, that they don't like it when people ask within the military what the rank is of their spouse. Because what do they know in addition to your rank? Who here can give us the answer to this? What would they learn immediately about you in addition to your rank once they know your rank? How much you're getting paid, all right? So in other words, it's and other jobs are like that too. It's immediately a value judgment. So sometimes asking what someone does for a living does not give you commonality either. You could just go for broke and ask them who they voted for in the last election cycle, and then you'd be all set to know whether you have anything in common with this person or not. Maybe if you're like most people today, you don't even bother broaching it, you just stare at your phone. If you're on an airplane or in a public space, just don't let me try to even interact with somebody else in this space. We live in divided times, and so a lot of times when people are thinking, what can I have in common with somebody else, it seems rather thin to people. And especially as followers of Jesus, we experience this as well. What are the two things you're not supposed to talk about in polite conversation? Politics and religion, right? And so if this is core to who we are, right, the message of Jesus for us, what the identity it gives us, the purpose it gives us, the hope that it gives us, if this is core to who we are, it's off the table for many people in terms of a space for commonality. Which kind of begs a big question to me: what draws someone to Christianity at all? If they, were not born and raised in it, or even if they have been, because, we're always being drawn in different ways. What draws someone to actually follow Christ? What draws you? Is it other people that sound and act like you do? Is that what's gathering us here this morning? Is it a great parking lot? I know it's not that here, right? Is it the right kind of music? What you're looking for in terms of the style of things in this space? Is it people being friendly and happy with you? Is it a great children's program? I don't think it's any of these things. I'm obviously asking this as kind of a leading way. We tend to focus on it or we think about it, but honestly, deep down for each one of us here, this is not what draws us to the message of Christ. It might be what on the surface is drawing us to this space at this particular moment, but it is not how the Spirit has actually drawn us into the hope that we have in the gospel. A lot of times when we are thinking about what we share in common with each other in this space and in all of the spaces of our lives, we're often missing the most obvious thing that is staring us right in the face. We're looking at the surface level and missing what's going on deep down. And this is what St. Paul refers to this morning as being a jar of clay. What is a jar of clay? Not just a Christian band from the late 90s, all right? A jar of clay is a container that holds something, usually not something very precious. It's here one day and gone the next. It's not really accounted as being particularly beautiful to look at. And it tends to be very fragile. If you've ever had anything that you've made of clay, it doesn't hold out for very long. Paul is describing you and I like this. In fact, he's describing all people everywhere this way, as jars of clay. And if you look around at our world, you see this commonality that we have with others. I mean, if you just follow any of the, not just the immediate news, although there's plenty of that, but kind of the commentaries or the trends, right? They talk about how lonely everyone is in our society. Every month or every year, there's some new statistical report about how men between the ages of 30 and 50 are lonely, right? Mothers are lonely. The elderly are lonely. College kids are lonely. And, you know, the Beatles sang about this decades ago, all the lonely people, right? It's not a new thing. And yet, despite all of the different, some of you are like, please don't sing again like that. But you got to, all right? It's not a new thing, right? We have all these different ways in which we think we are connected, maybe digitally or otherwise, and yet people, ironically, are thinking that they alone are alone. And everybody's thinking that way. It reminds me of a cartoon, like a comic I saw one time, where it shows the little bubble thought, you know, above a crowd of people. And each one of them has the little bubble leading up to it, and it all says, I'm very much alone, right? Or I'm such a failure. In other words, they all think they're on their own in this, and yet, strangely enough or ironically enough, they're all experiencing this. We are jars of clay. The commonality that we have with anyone that we meet is not on the surface, but in these spaces of need, in our fragile moments, in the fears that we have, that we are here one day and gone the next, in our struggles and our suffering and our sin. But whoever wants to start a conversation off like that, right? I mean, this is what Paul tells us today. We're perplexed, right? Anyone here feel confused from day to day? We feel persecuted, like somebody's after us, either for who we are or just in the daily grind of life. We feel struck down by various things, whether it's health or mental or spiritual or anything else. Paul is saying this is our commonality. But if we go back to the opening conversation, does anyone really want to start? We're not going to do the weather. We're not going to ask them what they do for a living. Instead, I'm going to say, hi, I'm Ryan. And what are your deepest, darkest fears? Nobody wants to do that, right? But this is actually where St. Paul is directing us. He's saying that this is the commonality that we have with one another, right? And you can experience this. I mean, if you can go halfway around the world and meet people who seem like they couldn't be more different from you. In fact, I know the Surfing the Nations group is going to do that, right? In the next few weeks. Where are you guys headed?
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka, all right? So are they going to look for some commonalities on the surface? No, the Spirit looks for need, and he meets need. This is what St. Paul is talking about with us today. And this is good news. It doesn't sound good on the surface, right? Because nobody wants to be a clay jar. But this is good news, because elsewhere in Scripture, people get referred to as a container, a different kind of container. It's Jesus this time. He's talking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and he calls them whitewashed tombs. Very different from a clay jar. A whitewashed tomb is a tomb that has been very cleaned on the outside. It looks great to anybody looking. I don't know how much a tomb can look great, but you really beautify it as much as you can. But Jesus says on the inside is death. In other words, the Pharisees, one of their major problems was that they spent so much time on the commonalities on the surface that they wouldn't be honest about what was going on for them on the inside. And so they were always in these positions where, rather than seeing commonality, they saw division and judgment for their brother or sister. It happened actually again in our gospel reading today. Jesus and the disciples are walking through a field, they're picking grain, and the Pharisees say, well, on the surface, you're not honoring God the way we honor God. See, you're doing this wrong. And so they call Jesus on this. And again, he has to point them out, first of all, that the Sabbath, the command that God gave us to rest, any of us ever follow this command? This is a crazy aside, but you know, of all the commands, you think of restricting things, God basically saying, put your feet up, stop working. And in our modern world, that seems increasingly difficult for us to do. But Jesus says that this command, that this Sabbath rest is for you and me. We were not created to serve the day of rest. It sounds strange, right? God has created it for us. And yet, because the Pharisees are whitewashed tombs, because they're looking on the surface for commonality, that's the space that they're stuck in. But Paul, thankfully for you and me, is calling us jars of clay. And we might not be eager to take that mantle on ourselves, but it really is a gift. We are not much to look at to the world around us. We are here one day and gone the next. In our daily struggles and sin, we are very fragile. And yet Paul tells us that in this jar of clay, in you, is a treasure beyond measure in Jesus Christ, that God has shown his light and his love into your life. And so we don't preach ourselves, but Christ and him crucified. It's a gift. We can be honest about who we are and how we deal with struggles in life because Jesus is at work in us. Jesus himself took on his own clay jar for you and me. Right? In the incarnation and in his birth, he took on our frailty and our struggles and all of the suffering that we experience. In fact, at the cross, all of the world's ugly is on Jesus Christ. All of the suffering, all of the sin, it's on display. It's the kind of thing you don't even want to look at. You don't even want to pay any attention to. And yet in that moment, the love of God for you and me shines through. This is what it means to be jars of clay with the treasure of Christ in us. And so when God sends you into relationship with others, it could be people that you've known your entire lives, or it could be someone that you're meeting for the first time, and he does this all the time. He puts us into contact with other people. The Spirit guides us to see this commonality at the core of our need and God's provision. So open your ears and invite them to share their struggles, how they live as a clay jar, and let Jesus Christ shine through in that and all interactions. God is faithful, and he will provide for you and me and all of those that he sends us into the lives of. We pray this in Jesus' name, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.